Warren Buffett once said, "Jack Bogle deserves a statue," yet most people have never heard of him. While Wall Street icons became billionaires managing other people's money, Bogle did something radical. He built a financial empire designed to make himself less wealthy. His company, Vanguard, now manages $8.3 trillion and attracts $1 billion daily, not by promising to beat the market, but by offering something simpler and more powerful. Bogle proved you could revolutionize finance without becoming the Wolf of Wall Street. He redirected over $1 trillion from Wall Street's pockets to Main Street's retirement accounts, benefiting 50 million people. In an industry built on extracting fees, he chose to eliminate them. Vanguard operates from Malvern, Pennsylvania, far from Manhattan's towers, both geographically and philosophically. It's the world's second largest asset manager, but dominates U.S. fund assets, holding 6 of the 10 largest funds globally. Its flagship total stock market index fund became the first to exceed $1 trillion. What makes this remarkable isn't size, but structure. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by investors. When you invest in Vanguard, you become a part owner. Vanguard's origin story reads like corporate drama. In 1965, Jack Bogle merged Wellington Fund with a Boston firm managing hot growth stocks, surrendering 40% control. When markets turned, the growth-focused iVest Fund collapsed 65% and Wellington Fund fell 38%. The Boston partners fired Bogle, but made a crucial mistake. Bogle remained chairman of the 11 funds Wellington advised, and those funds controlled the management contracts. In 1974, Bogle presented the board with options to resolve the chaos. They chose to create a new company owned by the funds themselves, Vanguard, with Bogle as CEO. This structure, where shareholders and clients are identical, creates a virtuous cycle. Profits lower fees rather than enrich executives. The Vanguard 500 fund's expense ratio dropped from 0.43% in 1976 to 0.03% today. Despite capturing 29% of U.S. fund market share, Vanguard takes only 5% of industry revenue. Bogle forfeited billions in personal wealth. His $80 million net worth was 225 times less than Fidelity's Abigail Johnson. But he gained something he valued more, the gratitude of millions of investors. Bogle's core insight sounds almost too simple. You can't beat the market, so own all of it at the lowest possible cost. This contradicts our competitive culture, which trains us to seek winners. Bogle argued this is precisely backwards in investing. He used the parable of the hedgehog and the fox. The fox knows many clever strategies. The hedgehog knows one great thing. Active managers are foxes deploying complex tactics. Index investors are hedgehogs buying and holding everything. Bogle focused on two sources of returns, dividends and earnings growth, the actual value companies create. He dismissed speculative return driven by investor psychology as noise. His prescription? Capture the real returns, ignore speculation, minimize costs, and wait. The math is brutal for active managers. From 1945 to 1975, equity mutual funds returned 9.7% versus 11.3% for the S&P 500, a 1.6% gap matching average fund costs. Bogle called this the cost matters hypothesis, and it's proven devastatingly accurate. Born during the 1929 Wall Street crash, Bogle watched his family lose everything. His father struggled with unemployment, while young Jack worked newspaper routes, waited tables, and set bowling pins. The Depression instilled lifelong frugality and deep distrust of Wall Street excess. His great-grandfather, Philander Bannister Armstrong, had challenged the insurance industry in the 1800s, declaring, "Gentlemen, cut your costs." Bogle inherited this reformist DNA. At Princeton, browsing Fortune magazine, he discovered an article on mutual funds. His senior thesis outlined what would become Vanguard's foundation: operate economically, reduce fees, don't claim superiority over market averages, serve shareholders first. In the 1960s, he chased bull market euphoria only to face devastating losses, searing into him the dangers of speculation. A heart attack at 30, with doctors predicting he wouldn't reach 40, added urgency to his mission. After a 128-day wait in 1996, he received a transplant, a 26-year-old's heart, giving him three more decades to wage war against Wall Street's money changers. While underperformance gets blamed for active funds' decline, Bogle identified a deeper problem. The industry didn't share economies of scale. As markets rose and assets grew, active managers kept their percentage fees unchanged. Their dollar revenues exploded, reaching $140 billion annually by 2020 without providing additional value. They violated Steve Jobs' principle: if you don't cannibalize yourself, someone else will. Unlike Apple, which improved products while lowering prices, financial companies refused to reduce fees even as their funds underperformed. Had active managers shared economies of scale, they could have built trust and improved performance numbers against benchmarks, potentially limiting Vanguard's growth. They didn't, and the great cost migration began. Expense ratios replaced past performance as the primary selection criterion. Investors now fee shame at dinner parties, boasting about their 0.03% expense ratios rather than their manager's brilliance, a complete cultural reversal from the 1990s. By 2018, 99% of flows into index funds and ETFs went to products charging 0.20% or less. The shift from high cost to low cost continues accelerating. Fidelity, once indexing's fiercest critic, launched zero-fee index funds in 2018, a stunning reversal from 1988 when its chairman dismissed indexing as settling for mediocrity. The revolution now targets financial advisors who moved client money to passive investments while protecting their own 1% fees. Vanguard offers advisory services for 0.05-0.30%, and CEO Tim Buckley warned, "The area that really needs to come down is in advice." Bogle's greatest behavioral insight was creating something worth holding. When markets fall, index investors rarely panic because they recognize the difficulty of beating the total market for 3 basis points. Vanguard investors demonstrate Navy SEAL-level discipline, maintaining investments through turbulence while others flee. The data confirms it. Trader ETF flows correlate with market swings, while big long index ETFs show steady inflows regardless of conditions, a sea change from the old days of account churning. History will judge Bogle as more than a successful investor. He changed the game itself. Unlike legendary investors who merely played well, Bogle rewrote the rules for everyone's benefit. His legacy lives through Vanguard's growth, the expansion of indexing, and the Bogleheads community. His aphorisms, "Don't look for the needle in the haystack, just buy the haystack," will outlive us all. His spirit continues through champions like Brad Katsuyama, who built IEX to protect investors from predatory trading, and Jerry Schlichter, who sued Fortune 500 companies over excessive 401k fees, winning $1.5 billion in settlements. As Gus Sauter notes, the Bogle effect is so dominant today, and the good news is that it will just continue. Bogle remained humble, acknowledging his errors. Yet his core ideas, the mutual structure, low costs, index funds, elimination of sales loads, have been proven beyond doubt. In a world worshiping wealth accumulation, Bogle showed that enough is enough. He could have been a billionaire, but chose differently, serving investors economically, efficiently, and honestly. That choice redirected $1 trillion from Wall Street to Main Street, transforming how 50 million people build wealth. He didn't just build a company, he built a movement that will compound for generations.